Everybody in 2 Corinthians 8, we're in the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation, and I especially love it in this this scripture here. We are talking about the Apostle Paul and his letter to the church at Corinth. We hit, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Titus and how Titus came and was such an encouragement to Paul. When Paul was in Macedonia. Michael, you were here when we were talking about that, weren't you? And the Apostle Paul, the greater man as the Apostle Paul was, you know, probably other than Jesus, the most influential man in the New Testament, he and then probably Luke the physician, two most influential guys as far as their writings and all of that. But he comes in and he was talking about, he says, I was restless, I was exhausted, troubles met us at every turn. Outwardly, I face conflicts, and inwardly, emotional turmoil. That's Apostle Paul saying this. So, you know, anytime we feel discouraged, anytime we feel that we're overwhelmed and all of that, we have been in good company, guys. We have been in good company. And, but God, I love this, but God, who always knows how to encourage the depressed, encouraged us greatly by the arrival of Titus. So we were talking about Titus coming in and us being Tituses and all of this in our lives. And then in verse 8, he starts talking about what has been going on is there is a lot of poverty going on in Jerusalem. The believers in Jerusalem are in a bad state. It's not just that there's a famine, but there was an extended famine. There was just a tremendous amount of poverty. And The Apostle Paul spends a whole chapter, or actually two chapters, chapters 8 and 9, talking about generosity to those that are in need. And we can run around and we can have all kind of knowledge, we can have all kind of giftings, we can have all kinds of you know, revelations and all of that stuff, but if we are not flowing in love and generosity, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says we're just a tinkling brass. We're just making noise. And I want to come in and really look at the heartbeat of my life and the heartbeat of this body and the heartbeat of kingdom people. And how do we minister the love of Jesus to those in need? And sometimes it looks like evangelism, and rich people need evangelism, but a lot of times it looks like meeting the physical needs of people. And the Apostle Paul, excuse me, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And his disciples said, Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? He said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And I personally feel that, y'all have heard me make this statement many times, I can tell at what place of proper alignment I'm in and how I'm experiencing revival in my life by how generous I am to people in need or to good, not just good causes, but good kingdom things. And when I am flowing in generosity, that's a good litmus test. It's a good litmus test. When I sit there and try to figure everything out and say, well, are they deserving of this? You know, they probably blew their money on something last week, and I was diligent, and I didn't do that. If they had a better work ethic, you know, you'll go to some of these developing countries, and they don't have the work ethic of Americans. And you'll go in, and you're like, man, if they would just step it up a little bit, they'd be better off. And we tried to Americanize everything and all that, and God said, I didn't ask you to come in and be the judge and jury. I asked you just to release kingdom blessings into their life. Let me take care of things on the backside. But if we come in and we try to give them a gospel that is void of love and is void of meeting the needs, then we're not giving them the true gospel. And so I think that's a good litmus test for us. There was this great need in Jerusalem, and Titus had actually been at the church in Corinth and expressed and said, hey guys, there's this great need in Jerusalem. The believers there are living in very, very much poverty. And I would like, God has stirred in my heart, I would like for us to take up this love offering and carry a love offering to these people to help them out. And I'm not even asking to do it today. He said, I'm asking that we do it, you know, you take up this money. According to this text, he said that they had a year to prepare this offering. So it was almost like we're going to come in and we're going to meet these goals and we're going to make a big splash. Not like, oh, if you got 20 bucks in your pocket, just throw it in and all of that stuff. But let's make a big splash in this. Let's come in and let's make pledges on this. That's a biblical concept. He said, y'all pledged to do this. So let's make pledges and let's come in and let's make a difference. Let's make a big splash in these people's lives. And so Titus came and he did this to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth was like, yeah, man, we're on board. When you come back through next time, when you come back through on your next journey through, we're going to have a love offering for these people and we're going to bless them good. And he's like, awesome, man, that's great. And so Titus leaves, Titus goes to other places. Well, Paul is writing to them and he says, okay, guys, it's about time for you to make good on your pledge. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. You know, we've had, I want us to always be a church that puts our money where our mouth is. On generosity. To where we come in and we give to ministries and all of that stuff. Not naming any names, but I was talking to, Nick the other night at Life Group, and you know, he and Lisa head up the, FCA in Carrollton. And, you know, they, 100 kids every week come in, and, you know, they come in, these kids are coming in before school. And I will say this, I want to brag and applaud on this church. You guys support, 3 different high schools on a monthly basis. Harrelson County, Bremen, and Carrollton high schools. We have 0 kids from Carrollton High School that come to this church, but we have 2 coaches that go to this church that go down there. And so it's not about, oh, we're just going to take care of what's in our house. But we see the value, we see the need, and we sow into this. And we spend a lot of money. Jeffrey could actually give you numbers, but we spend a lot of money every month on Chick-fil-A biscuits for FCA. You know, Chick-fil-A biscuits. And, you know, y'all know those aren't cheap. They're more expensive than Jack's, okay? I go to Jack's or McDonald's. They're real cheap. You know, pretty good. But it costs more. And so we come in and we do this as a body, and I applaud that. But Nick was just expressing frustration Sunday night. He's like, man, I went to 3 of the, you know, the biggest churches in Carrollton and all of that stuff, and they can't even, you know, cough up any money to support FCA. You know, these churches have got just, you know, they're 10 times as big as us, or 5 times as big as us anyway. You know, 3 of the main ones down there. And, you know, when I'm saying, well, it ain't our budget. We might can do donuts every once in a while, but we can afford Chick-fil-A biscuits. And I'm like, man, I don't care how fancy your campus is. I don't care what all you're doing as far as you got all these cute little programs and all of this stuff and everything, and you got 30 staff members and all that. If you can't even meet a need like that for some high school students to try to bring them in a weekly contact with Jesus, to me, we're missing the mark. And this is what the Apostle Paul's talking about. We're going to see it in one of these verses in a few minutes. He's like, y'all are doing all of these things well. Let me go ahead and read this verse. And then we'll back up. He said, you do well and excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, and in sharing the love we have shown to you. So then he comes in, he said, you do great in all this. But he says, so make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. And what he's saying in this, he said, guys, y'all can get all these other things right, but if you're not having grace-filled generosity, you're not complete. He said, make sure. He said, man, this is awesome. He's really, really being encouraging in this letter. He says, y'all do great in all these things, but make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. I've talked to people that worked in the hospitality industry, you know, waitresses and waiters, and they say that I've had this told me more than one occasion, and they said that the church people that come in after church on Sunday are the worst ones on tipping. They said they are the stingiest and a lot of times the rudest people. And they'll come in on their Sunday morning church clothes and all that, and they say, man, I got some heathen that comes in smelling like bourbon from Saturday night before, and he's way more generous than this joker that just got out of there, woo, you know, church service. And I'm like, that's sad to me, guys. We should be the most generous people on the planet. We should be the most cordial people on the planet. We should be the most friendly people on the planet. We should be the most pleasant people on the planet, that when they walk away from us, they say, man, I like that guy. And there was something about him. He had joy. you know, he gave me a great tip, but man, there was something about this guy. And so, you know, Paul says, y'all can do all this other stuff, but you need to get this right too. So let's look at some of these things. We're going to start in verse 1. He said, beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace God poured out upon the churches of Macedonia. For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy. From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. For I can verify that they spontaneously gave, not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty. They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. So we've got these first five verses, and I really want to come in and pick these apart. In this letter to Corinth, the Apostle Paul has said, man, let me tell you about the churches in Macedonia. The churches in Macedonia, I think, were Thessalonica, Berea. There were four or five churches in Macedonia that Paul had established. They were not wealthy like Corinth. They were not affluent whatsoever. He's talking about the difficulty these guys are living in. He said there's a season of severe difficulty, tremendous suffering, and I think that it was from a standpoint of persecution. I think it was from a standpoint of finances. I think it was a standpoint of all the aspects of life. And he said, but during this season, when they had it really, really bad going in their life, he said they became even more filled with joy because God poured out His grace. And some of the notes that I had, and I talked about this Sunday morning, was that as God poured out His grace in their lives, it looked like joy. And I want to ask you, what do we think of when we say God's pouring His grace out on us? What does it look like? You know, sometimes it's like endurance, and I'm just going to be a good soldier, and I'm going to hang in there, and God just help me make it, and all of that stuff. But in this, it said that God's grace looked like joy. And then I love the wording in this. It said, from the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed in an act of extravagant generosity. I get this feeling and just the vision in my mind of this as I try to put this to this thought to text here, is it said that God poured out grace upon them. And then as that grace was poured out upon them, from the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy erupted and overflowed. It's like as God poured His grace out on them, the spring up a wells thing. That within them, the wells that were already in there, the stuff that was already in there, that was not circumstantial. All right? Your faith is not a circumstantial thing, guys. And God's grace, as it was poured out, you know what it did? It caused these wells to begin to erupt. It caused things to spring to life in them. And the thing that sprang forth out of them was super abundant joy. I find that amazing. I find that amazing. And we come in and we had a bad day and we run our lip out and somebody didn't like us on Facebook and somebody hurt my feelings and it was just hard at work and all of that. And I'm kind of like, well, boo-hoo, get over it and let's go. Okay? Let's go. We live in an offense-filled society. The worst thing going on in our society, I know there's polarization with political parties and all of this stuff, but to me, the worst thing that is going on in our society, because I see it across the board, it's not a liberal thing, it's not a conservative thing, but the thing that is permeating our society right now is that we're an offense-filled society. You can't turn around without somebody being offended. I can't say anything without offending people. You know, we're offended if it's too hot. We get offended by everything. And it is something that is, the enemy's trying to release it into our kids. Because what he's trying to do is create a victim mentality among all of us. And we go around in society and we're victims instead of victors. And we're like, man, I'm oppressed and I'm beat down and I'm discouraged and the enemy's just been, you know, I've just been done wrong and there's no way for me to overcome. That is his greatest tool, I feel like, in keeping us from becoming what God designed us to be. When we come in and we talk about being conquerors and we talk about being overcomers and we talking about being the sons of God that are manifesting and redeeming the planet and all of that stuff, most people can't come in and embrace that because they said, I've just got too much stacked against me. The enemy's just, you know, my circumstances. Are you filling the blanks of why you can't do it? And usually it comes down to, man, I'm a victim because I got bad breaks. Or somebody did this or somebody did that. You know, why don't you go to church? You know, you talk to people. Why don't you go to church? Well, I got my feelings hurt. Oh, so you're a victim then. There's old phrase. I don't mean to be offensive in this, but there's an old country phrase, you know, that you couldn't run me off with a bucket of dookie and a pine top. Y'all can't offend me bad enough to quit on Jesus. You can't offend me enough to quit on Jesus. You can't offend me enough to quit on my belief in the institution of church. You can't offend everybody in here. I told y'all last week or the week before we was talking about this. I said, every one of y'all can stand up and flick me off and walk out the back door. You know what? I'm still going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because I know it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm still going to keep declaring that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to God other than through the door, Jesus Christ. And I believe that the enemy cripples us by coming in and teaching us that, oh, you're a victim and all of this stuff. And he comes in and he said, these guys have these very, very, very difficult circumstances, but they got super abundant joy because God poured a grace out on them. And then let's look at this in verse 3. Just in my notes, it overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. We are operating out of an overflow mode, an overflow of joy, peace, hope, love. A river is a spring that has erupted and is in overflow mode. The headwaters of any river is where there is a water source that cannot be contained with the geography of where it is right there, and so it begins to flow. And the way that we will flow as a river is when all of these things of God, the presence of God, the walking as sons of God is at such a place that my present geography can't contain it. This house can't contain it. My immediate surroundings can't contain it. And we're too affected by seasons. And you look at a major river and it may rise and fall slightly, but the Mississippi River ain't never run dry. Ain't never run dry. I've even got a little creek on the backside of our property that the cows drink out of and all of that stuff. And it gets up, but it has never run dry. It kind of gets in a bad way, but there's never been a time when water wasn't in it. And this overflowed in their life. It overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. And it looked like something. Love always looks like something. We can say that we love the world. Well, that's going to look like something. We can say I love people. It's going to look like something. We can say I love God. That's going to look like something. We can say I love the church. That's going to look like something. If I say I love church, that's going to look like something. We say I love the body. It's going to look like something. And you know, for us to come in and be these silent closet believers and all that, I don't believe you've got genuine faith. Because if you do, it's going to look like something. It's going to manifest in some way. And it did with these folks, and it manifested into extravagant generosity. Let's look on and see what he said. He said, for I can verify that they spontaneously gave, not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. They spontaneously gave, not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. I want to take just a second. What is convenient giving and what is sacrificial giving? And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about compassion and all of these things. It's easy for us to give what is convenient. It's easy for us to give what's convenient. The Lord kind of spoke a little illustration to me, and I can come in and I can pull the money, and I don't know how much money I've got here, but I could come in and I could give Aaliyah this $50. And that's convenient. That's easy. That doesn't hurt me. I have more money. I know there's a $100 bill in here because I can see the color of it. So that 50, that wasn't a stretch for me to give her that 50. But then what if God comes in and says, hey, I just want you to give Michael everything you've got? Then all of a sudden, well, that becomes sacrificial. God, have y'all ever had God ask y'all or tell y'all to do that? God said, just give them what's in your pocket. God, I don't even know what's in my pocket. He said, I didn't ask you what was in your pocket. I just asked you to give what was in your pocket. And we come in and we're like, all right. And here's this. That's sacrificial. That didn't keep that. Lord told me to give that to you. He told me this afternoon to give that to you. I'm serious. He did. He told me to give it to you. I don't know. I don't even know how much it is. I know there's a $100 bill in there. But he said, give that to Michael. Leah, you can keep that 50 too. I was going to give that to one of the Blake House guys. The Lord spoke that to me this afternoon when I was on the tractor. But since they're not here, you're blessed by their absence. Brett's like, dude, why didn't you give it to me? Same kitty. But y'all see the difference in the two? It's easy for us to come in and give something that is convenient. And these folks came in and they had something, and it said they didn't give what was convenient. They gave beyond that. His exact wordings was that I can verify that they gave not only according to their means, that's convenient, but far beyond what they could afford. Because see, here's what we're doing, guys, and this is important. I want you to understand this. And we think, oh man, I gave away $200 or whatever and all that stuff. That's great, but you know, anytime I think I've done something, you know, we've given away cars and we've given away Harley Davidsons and different stuff like that that the Lord told us to and all that stuff. And that's cool and that's great. And I think, man, that's awesome. You know, we do that a little bit and everything. And then you say, yeah, man, I give away 3 houses. And I'm like, whoa, okay. You know. Lou Engle did the call out in California. The Azusa Street. Azusa Now. He rented the Memorial Coliseum where the Trojans play. He rented that. You know how he rented that? He put his house up for it. That's how he did. But you know how he got the house that he put up for that? Somebody gave him that house. So let me run with this for just a second. When I gave Aaliyah the $50 bill, what did I give her? I gave her generosity. I released generosity into her life. Not necessarily love or anything like that, but I released generosity into her life. But now when I gave Michael all that I had, sacrificial giving, Lord, you're going to pay for supper tonight, okay, baby? Hope you got your pocketbook. But when I gave Michael all that I had, that was sacrificial giving. Okay, what did I give Michael? I gave him money, but what did I give him? What did I release into him? I released faith into him. I released trust into him. That God, you told me to give this away, so I know you're going to supply all my needs. Same thing you did with buying that gas today, brother. Same thing. I promise, I swear on 58 Bibles that the Lord told me to give you that money this afternoon. It wasn't after you bought somebody a tank of gas. That's awesome, or however much gas you bought them. And it wasn't, I'm going to pay him back or anything like that. God knew you were going to do that before you even did that. But by me coming in and me giving this sacrificial gift to you, and by you giving a sacrificial gift to this woman, you know what you did? You released faith. You released trust. You released obedience. You released all of those things into her life. She got more than money. She got more than money. She got all of these things that you released into her. And when we come in sacrificially, and when we come in and we give beyond what is convenient for us to give, he said they gave beyond their means. They were releasing way more than dollar amounts into the church in Jerusalem. They were releasing faith into the church in Jerusalem. They were releasing trust into the church in Jerusalem. They were releasing hope into the church of Jerusalem. That's one thing, and y'all have heard me say this many times recently, that I love that Marty says over and over again, is we go and we deliver them food, and like I say, it's like a food box that you give away at CCC. It's what we carry these people. Beans and rice and flour and just a bunch of stuff. And we come in, he said, I have to believe that last night some woman was praying, God, please send food for my children. And we showed up the next day. And so what did we show up with the next day? We didn't just show up with rice and beans and flour and spaghetti noodles and salt and sugar. We didn't just show up with staples. When we showed up and we gave them the stuff, you know what that looked like to them? God's faithfulness. They're sitting there, and as they received that box, they're like, whew, Yahweh is Jireh. And he's faithful. And if he's concerned about the sparrow, he's concerned about me. If he clothes the lily in their glory, then he's going to take care of my needs. That's what we're releasing into people. And that's what these churches in Macedonia were releasing into people, guys. It's not get way past the fact that I hooked somebody up with a $1,000 donation. Or a $5,000 donation. You're releasing way more than that into their life. You're releasing faith. You're releasing trust. You're releasing hope. You're releasing obedience. And that's what's going to change the trajectory of their life. You know what's going to happen to these people when we come in? And I'm going to be honest with you. When we go and we deliver these food boxes to these people in Honduras, and you could fill in the blank, it's the same thing in Haiti. It's the same thing at the CCC. It's the same thing wherever. When you're ministering to the physical needs of somebody, they're going to eat those beans, and they're going to eat that rice, and they're going to eat that flour, and it's going to be gone in about a week. So I gave them a momentary feel for their belly, but I gave them something that lasted way longer than a momentary feel. I gave them the hope that God cares about me. I gave them hope that God sees me. I gave them hope that God is a provider. I gave them the hope that His Word is true. So that's the thing, man, with this generosity. You're not just meeting that frontal need. You're going way deeper than that. You're going way beyond that. And you're saying, this is what I'm giving you. When we go to the landfill down there, man, we're giving them a bologna sandwich and some stuff that goes with it, a banana and some water and what, I don't know, chips or something like that. We're giving them, you know, just a meal. We're giving them lunch. They're going to be hungry again in 4 hours, 6 hours, definitely the next day. But they go home at night and said, somebody saw me. Somebody came. Somebody cared enough to show up. And these folks got towels and, I mean, you know, bandanas and stuff wrapped around there because they don't like the stench either. They're not immune to it. And they're like, man, these gringos showed up in the midst of all of this. And they saw me. Not only did they see me, but they came for me. They came specifically for me. And we're releasing something that's way bigger than a 5-hour fix for your hunger. And that's what he's talking about, these people right here in Macedonia. And he said, they gave not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. And then in verse 4, he said, they actually begged us for the privilege of sharing. They begged us for the privilege of sharing in what? This ministry of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty. You know what the Apostle Paul called this? He said it's ministry. It's ministry. It's ministry. When I give you clothes, it's ministry. When I give you food, it's ministry. It's just as important, just as significant as me getting up here and preaching you a sermon. Because in the fact that I'm giving you something, whether it be, man, whether it be getting online and giving Jeff Vaughn $100 on PayPal, Because he's sitting there saying, God, maybe he's got plenty of food. Maybe he's doing fine. But God, I would really like to do another outreach next week in this other village. And the only thing stopping me from doing another outreach is resources. And then all of a sudden, you got four people that get online that night and they say, I'm going to donate. I hadn't donated to Jeff in a while. Let me get online and donate $100 to Jeff Bone. And so you get on Salt Light Missions and you donate that money. And Jeff wakes up the next morning and he's got these dings on his thing that tells him that somebody donated money to him. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, yes, thank you, Jackie, Tom, and I appreciate you. But you know what he's really saying? Thank you, Jesus. You are so faithful to me. Thank you for sending Titus. Because I know it was you that came. It looked like Jackie. But it was God. It was Yahweh. And that's what these guys are releasing right here. He said that they begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving. The word says God loves a hilarious giver. Are you excited about the opportunity to be able to release into those in need? Do you get excited about that? We should. I think it does something in our heart. I know it does. It does something in mine. I get excited when I can do that stuff. I mean, I get plumb giddy when I can do that stuff. I walk away and I'm like, yes. Even the little illustration tonight that the Lord told me to do when I was on the tractor, that felt good to me. Leah don't need money. She's rich. She got plenty of money. That felt good to me. Felt good to me to just to release something into Michael and say, you know what? That's the voice of the Lord that spoke that to me, just like the voice of the Lord spoke to you and said, fill somebody's gas tank up this afternoon. That's it. And he said, they begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty. He comes in verse 5 and he says, they exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. He said, man, they exceeded our expectations because they just didn't give. They dedicated themselves to the Lord. And then to us according to God's pleasure. See, here's the thing, guys. We can be generous and we can come and we can give. We can be super abundant generous and we can give above and beyond. But you know when God's really got it, when he comes in and he says, and we say, God, you got everything, whatever that looks like. If that looks like my time, if that looks like my ambition, if that looks like my resources, you got it all. You got it all. The greatest thing that she ever gave me was her heart, her whole heart. The greatest thing that she knows that she's got everything else because she got my heart first. And when she got my heart, she got the whole trailer load of stuff that went with it. So she doesn't have to worry about all the other stuff because why? Because she got my heart first. And they came in and they dedicated themselves to the Lord. And they said, God, I want to challenge everybody in here. This is something God's really been pressing on me hard the last several years. It's one of my constant prayers is I just come before the Lord and I say, Lord, I give myself totally to you, whatever that looks like. And I mean it. Whatever that looks like. If it's resources, if it's time, if it's doing it when I ain't feeling it, I don't always feel it. Saturday night, I'm always not always excited about coming in here and preaching on Sunday morning. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I'd love just to watch this football game. It's college football season, and this game didn't start till 8:30, Lord. And I'd really like just to kick back and just watch this football game and just sleep late tomorrow morning and just slide in and let somebody else minister to me. But God, I'm giving myself to you. Jesus, as he was in Garden of Gethsemane, says, not my will, but thy will be done. The beauty of it is when we come into this beautiful surrender, then his will becomes our will. Now it's not hard for me to give and yield myself because his will becomes my will. So I'm like, all right, God, what's next? Thank you for what was the wording he used right here? He said, they begged us for what? The privilege. So the longer I go in this and the more I do this, you know what I'm realizing? This is a privilege to be able to stand here with this microphone. It's not a burden. It's not a task. It's not a, oh golly. This is a glorious privilege to be able to release the beauty of the gospel into all you guys' lives. And say, man, this works. Kingdom living works. Giving God your whole heart, it works. And it'll rock you in Matt's world. When y'all come in and you say, we're going to do this thing. And we're going to give ourselves totally to God. And God, you just take us. We're along for the ride. And you just take it wherever it goes. And it's going to rock you in Matt's world as y'all do that. And it's not a burden. It's a joy. And these people in the midst of tough circumstances, they came in and they're. We're dedicating ourselves fully to the Lord. And not only the Lord, but you guys. Here's the thing. What time is it, somebody? Look at you. Dang, how does time get away? Okay. I'm going to wrap it up right here. Man, I meant to get a whole lot further than this. I tell you what will happen in this, and this is the hard thing, is we come in and we're okay with making ourselves vulnerable to God because we know that God won't mistreat us, or we kind of hope, keep our fingers crossed, maybe look in our back pocket and say, God, I don't think you're going to mistreat me. I think I feel safe in this, and so I'm dedicating myself to you and I'm giving myself to you and all of that stuff. What happens when God connects us with people and requires it of us that we dedicate our lives to them as well? That gets way more harder, doesn't it? Because maybe we've been violated before. Maybe we've been abused before. Maybe we've not been fathered or mothered well before. Or maybe when we've come alongside of people, they've misused those things. And all I can tell you on that is as God brings that into your life, just say yes and trust in it. And if you do get hurt, trust that He's the balm of Gilead and He'll heal your wounds. Before we went to Honduras in February, and we've expressed this to Marty and Krista, but before we went to Honduras in February, me and Lori had really been, I felt like for us and for this house, we've really been trying to connect to some mission ministries that we could really just dive into and say, man, we're going to come alongside and we're going to dedicate ourselves to this. And man, we thought it was going to happen with Mike and Karen Gray and they're wonderful people and I have the tremendous amount of respect and love and admiration for them. And we did a couple mission trips with them, and then Mike got cancer, and they didn't travel as much, and all of that stuff. And the trip to Guatemala was amazing. It was a great trip and all of that. But for whatever reason, God did not let it happen. And now I know why God did not let it happen. Because He was holding us in reserve for Marty and Krista. And I can speak that for me and Lori. And before we went to Honduras in February, we really prayed and we asked the Lord. And we said, Lord, if we're supposed to be connected to these people and if we're supposed to be connected, and this ain't got nothing to do if they come to victory or don't come to victory. Okay? I hope God plugs them in here because I want to do life with them. But I'll do kingdom work with them whether they're plugged in here or not as church members. But we prayed and we said, God, if we're supposed to be connected to them and we're supposed to be connected to this ministry and to this nation and what you're doing right here, at least for this season in our life, if we're supposed to give and dedicate ourselves to it like this right here, I said, Lord, let us know. And I promise you, and we prayed that for weeks leading up to that trip in February. And I promise you, and I can speak as for when it happened to me, but I think me and Lori have talked about this since then. But for me, when I got off the airplane and I put foot on ground and I breathed the air down there, I knew that this was it and this was the people. And so we come in and we just said, man, we're dedicating ourselves. We're coming alongside of you guys and we just want to help y'all serve. You know, and Marty texted us, you know, before we went to the last trip in September, and he says, "Hey man, do either one of you guys want to preach, you know, when we do a church service down there, and we're gonna partner with another church and go to another church. Do either one of y'all want to preach that Sunday and all that stuff?" And I said, "Brother, I didn't come to preach, I came to serve." And you run with it and you preach, because he's a different cat down there. He's a good guy up here, but he's a different cat down there. And it's because he is flowing in what God's called him to do, and he's dedicated himself to the Lord and dedicated himself to that country. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you. And the reason that the Apostle Paul brought all of this stuff about the churches in Macedonia was he was trying to encourage and challenge the church in Corinth. He said, "Y'all've got all these amazing resources. Let's use them. Y'all got a good heart for kingdom stuff." He listed all of their accolades, and they were good things. He said, "Y'all were faithful in all this." He said, "But let's use it in this area as well." And he was challenging them. He said, "If these poor little folks from Macedonia," and I don't mean that in a negative way, "but if these impoverished people that are in extreme difficulties in Macedonia can step up big time, then what's our excuse?" And so I just want to challenge you guys, and it may not be a season, because me and Lori had a season that lasted several years that we really wanted to connect to something, and we gave, man, we sent money to Heidi Baker, and we sent money to missions, you know, to Jeff and all these different ministers, to Grant, all these different missionaries. We've always been faithful in doing that, but I'm talking about something that we could connect to and give ourselves to and say, "We're dedicating ourselves to that as well." And it was years for us before that happened. So I'm just saying this. It may be 2 years from now before that hits you. But when the time comes, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You've given Him your heart. All you're doing is really giving Him your heart again. It just looks like people. And I promise you this. If you get hurt, He can heal your hurts. If you get hurt, He can heal your hurts. If some person mishandles you, God's the balm of Gilead, and He can heal your hurts. He's Jehovah Rapha. He can heal our hurts. So don't withhold out of fear. Release out of trust. That's the whole message of these five verses that we went through tonight. Is don't withhold out of fear. Don't withhold out of uncertainty. Release out of trust. All right, y'all stand your feet. Do you have something you want to tag on that? You good? All right, I know we're over a few minutes. It's a school night. Altar's always open for communion prayer. So, man, just come and spend a little time before the Lord. Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity, for the privilege of coming to Your house, of Lord, just seeking Your face and studying Your word. I pray that our worship in doing so is pleasing to You, that it's a sweet incense to You. And I pray that You would bless everyone that came out tonight. I pray that You would just be rich and deep in them. And Lord, just let the words that were said, the words that were from Your pages, that they would just activate in each of our lives. And Lord, let us just be more image bearers tomorrow than we were today. And let it come out of just a beloved relationship with You. And I pray, Lord, as these people walk in places of generosity, that You would continue to bless them. As they're generous with their time, redeem their time. As they're generous with their faith, then redeem that. Multiply that. As they're generous with their finances and their resources, then redeem that and multiply that. Father, bless them for a generous spirit. Bless them for a generous spirit. I believe Your word. I know Your word promises that. And so we just come in agreement with Your word, and we say yes, and we receive that. And I pray we would walk and be everything that You desire us to be, Father. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.